you know, time moves really quickly, especially around here. And I realized just recently that earlier this month, I've been here at Forest Hills for 9 years, which... Yes, of course, I say those things to get an applause. So thank you for that. I've survived, endured, thrived, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, I've been here for 9 years, and it's crazy, right? And I was thinking, you know, about 9 years, and I was thinking about a lot of people. I think about a lot of you, a lot of people who have passed on, as well as a lot of really gifted and thoughtful and energetic ministers that I've gotten to serve along in that time. And it got me thinking about Gavin Spell. Gavin, if you never had the chance or have no idea what this name means, Gavin was a longtime youth minister here at the church who departed and is now serving at First Baptist in Wilmington back in 2019. But I really enjoyed working alongside Gavin. And if you never met him, and I was trying to figure out, do I say he is or he was? He just sort of is an amalgam of all those things. But he's really focused and thoughtful, and he's an energetic guy who did a really great job caring for our youth and their families. But I have a story to share about Gavin, and I didn't tell him I was going to talk about this today. And so if you stay in contact with him, don't tell him to look this sermon up. But thinking way back to when I started here, it was back in the winter of 2014, and the youth here were getting ready to go on their annual ski trip. And this was Gavin's first time taking the church on their ski trip. And so, of course, as Gavin is prone to do, he overprepares by asking lots of questions. And so he would go around and talk to all of the youth and former youth and get an idea of what to expect from this annual ski trip that the church took. And everybody essentially came back to him with the same insight and advice. Somebody's going to break a bone. It just always seemed to happen. Year in, year out, somebody broke something and wound up going to the hospital. Now, if you know Gavin, you can pretty much guess what happened from there. After hearing this story about high schoolers breaking bones on practically every ski trip that this church had ever been on, he was convinced that somebody was going to break something on his ski trip. So for weeks, Gavin would walk around the office reminding us as well as himself that somebody was going to break something. It wasn't a hunch, it wasn't a guess, it was an absolute rock-solid certainty. The only question was, who would it be? What youth would try the wrong move on the wrong mountain and wind up being carted off to the hospital? Well, if you don't know the end to this story I'm telling you, you'll know now that Gavin was right. Somebody on that trip did break something. But it wasn't a youth, it was him. After telling himself for weeks that somebody was going to get hurt on this trip, that somebody ended up being him. And I just couldn't get over the irony of it all. And to me, it really came across like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Now, obviously, with hindsight being beneficial, it's doubtful that Gavin literally spoke his injury into existence. But even so, there's something to be said about the power that our words have to shape our reality. Now, whether we realize it or not, the words we tell ourselves have the ability to impact our reality in all sorts of ways, for both good as well as bad. And because of that, we need to think carefully about the words we tell ourselves and consider what kind of fruit these words may be coming to bear in our lives. And that's what we'll be talking about today as we wrap up our sermon series on the power of words. And we'll do so by reflecting upon today's scripture out of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 26 through 34. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn there now or just follow along here on the screen. So the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, beginning in verse 26. Jesus said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In today's scripture, Jesus uses parables to make sense out of something that's difficult and kind of hard to understand. In this section of Mark's gospel, Jesus is talking to his disciples and his followers about the coming of God's kingdom and how it wasn't going to look exactly like all the people thought it was going to look. Now, at this particular point in time, as the people of Israel once again suffered under oppression and persecution from an outside power, some Jews expected the Lord to come at last as a conquering hero using military might to expel their foreign rulers and rescue God's people once and for all. Now, Jesus, of course, was aware of this expectation from many of the people that he was speaking to and preaching to throughout his ministry. And because of that, Jesus had to find a creative way to nudge people towards thinking about God's presence, power, and love in a really different way that they'd never really considered before. And by speaking in parables, Jesus was preparing the hearts and minds of those he spoke with to receive what he had come to share, namely the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. With these stories, Jesus used his words to bring the good news of God's love alive to those who heard it. But Jesus also used these stories to help people find their own place in these parables, so that they, like the characters Jesus spoke of, could come to experience and take part in the good news itself. By carefully using the right words in the right way, Jesus helps all of us to understand more about his love and what role we're called to play in sharing it with others. Contrary to what some might tell you, these parables aren't just stories meant to convey a single point that we can reflect on and then move on from, but rather, they're stories which invite us to participate in the fullness of God's kingdom. Here in Mark chapter 4, Jesus uses two parables about seeds to describe the gradual growth of this kingdom over time. Little by little, what grows from these seeds becomes larger and larger. From a tiny seed comes harvest. From a tiny seed come trees large enough to shade birds and other animals. And through these parables, Jesus is saying that massive things can come from relatively minor beginnings. From a seed can come a tree. From a seed can come a harvest. And from a little podunk town like Nazareth can come the Savior of the world. Now, obviously, while Jesus doesn't explicitly say anything about the power of words here in these parables, what he does say is applicable nonetheless. Because as we've seen throughout the last several weeks, minor words can have a massive impact on ourselves, others, and really the world around us. And as such, We have to be careful, because just as the seeds we scatter may soon become a tree, the words we speak, well, they may soon become our reality. As followers of Christ, we have, of course, all been called to service in his kingdom. And while we each may be called to different roles and responsibilities in that kingdom, one common task that we all share in is that task of scattering seeds. And we do that most frequently and effectively with the words that we speak. Through the things we say and how we say them, We can scatter seeds that'll bear either helpful or harmful fruits. And because we may not be around long enough to see what kind of fruit that we're actually producing, that should make us all the more careful with the words that we're choosing to speak, because they may wind up having all sorts of unintended consequences that we never even considered. Now, while it's important to think about the impact that your words are having on others, this morning for the rest of the sermon, I just want you to focus on what impact your words are having on you yourself. What kind of reality are your words creating for you? Oftentimes, our biggest encourager or most brutal critic is often the person we see staring back at us in the mirror, right? So many issues can be traced back to how we view ourselves. And because of that, it's important for us as Christians to have a healthy sense of self that's grounded in who God says that we are. Our goal, of course, isn't to think too highly of ourselves, but nor is it to think too lowly of ourselves either. For you see, one end of that spectrum fosters an unhealthy ego and pridefulness, while the other end of that spectrum undermines our worth and our self-esteem. And when we live on either end of that spectrum, when our lives are so out of whack and so out of balance, and we view ourselves too highly or too lowly than we ought to, bad fruits are going to grow from those seeds that we scatter. And despite what we might tell ourselves, bad fruits will never make us better. To gain and maintain a healthy sense of self, we've got to consume good fruits. We've got to have a good diet. And friends, those good fruits come from reminding ourselves who God says that we are. The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of a good and gracious God who loves us with everything he's got. And through his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus demonstrates that we're worth all of the sacrifices he's made in order to grant us forgiveness of sins and eternal life. That's the image you're made in. That's the Creator who has made you. And that is the God and the Savior of the world who says, you are worthy just as you are. Friends, despite your sins, which don't fool yourself, there are many of them, God doesn't see you as a failure. And because he doesn't, neither should you. Sadly, though, our world loves to judge, and oftentimes we get on the game by judging ourselves more harshly than we deserve. Now, of course, we need to be acutely aware of our own shortcomings and own up to our mistakes. That's part of what it means to have a healthy sense of self, after all. But you know, what's not normal or healthy is when our self-reflection turns into negative self-talk. Because when we start internalizing negativity by saying and thinking harsh, critical, and untrue things about ourselves, we call our worth into question, and really things just start spiraling out of control from there, don't they? When we're sowing these sorts of seeds, the fruit they bear can inhibit us from living a fulfilled and meaningful life. For instance, here are a couple of the consequences of negative self-talk when we allow it to go crazy in our lives. Now, the first consequence is what they call limited thinking. The more you tell yourself that you can't do something, the more you're going to believe that you really can't. And when we give in to limited thinking, this limits us from expanding our minds and learning and doing new things that we may otherwise be fully capable of doing. The next one is especially insidious, and that's perfectionism. You see, negative self-talk reinforces the belief that your best, as good as it might be, is never and can never be enough, and that you can always do better. And when really taken in the wrong way, this causes us to view anything less than absolute perfection as not good enough, which then rob our successes of meaning and joy. Of course, a very natural consequence, too, is depression. And while any number of factors can influence whether we're depressed or not, research has shown that negative self-talk can increase feelings of depression that may already exist within ourselves. And finally, this other consequence of relationship challenges. When you fail to find and maintain fulfillment within yourself or through your faith even, it becomes really, really difficult to find fulfillment with another person. Their joy, love, and care may come across as disingenuous to you, and you may never feel as though you can fully provide them with what they need because of first how you view yourself. Friends, when we scatter seeds of negativity, this is the kind of fruit that we're going to produce every single time. We're going to produce fruit that harms our holistic health, diminishes our self-worth, and undermines our relationships with God and others. Because make no mistake about it, the world that these negative words are creating for ourselves, it isn't a paradise. Folks, it's a prison. And as we see time and time again through the witness of Scripture, Christ hasn't come to see us enslaved. Christ has come to set us free. And to do that, Jesus wants us to start scattering the right kind of seed in our lives through the things we tell ourselves so that we can experience the purpose, the peace, and the joy which comes from living that faithful and fulfilled life. Now, if you're afflicted by negative self-talk, if you are suffering from low self-esteem or anything else that results from negative self-talk, remember that your healing from this affliction, it's not going to happen all at once. I wish, I hope, and I pray that I could tell you otherwise, but the facts tell me that it takes time. Because as today's parable reminds us, once you start scattering the right kind of seed, as good as it might be, it's going to take time for those seeds to grow and to bear fruit. But you know what? That's okay, right? That's okay. Because you know what? We want those seeds to take all the time that they need to grow and to develop deep, strong roots so that they'll be able to withstand the negative things we say to ourselves as well as the negative and harmful things that are said to us. Now, to help us in that, here are some of the practices and habits that are going to help us to develop that healthy sense of self and allow those good seeds to grow deep roots into our lives. The first thing we can be aware of is this. Be aware of what you're saying to yourself. Now, once you start paying attention to what you're actually saying and what you're actually thinking, then all the negative words that are in there are going to become much, much more clear. You'll be able to pick them out of the rest of everything that you're saying to yourself, and you're going to be able to recognize them for what they truly are. And you know, a lot of times we may not think that particular words or phrases or negative affirmations are actually bad for us. And oftentimes when we come across those questionable things we say to ourselves, a good practice to use to determine whether it is helpful or harmful is to say this to yourself. Would I say this to somebody else? Would I say these things to someone I truly love with all my heart? And if you couldn't bring yourself to say those things to somebody else, but you're saying them to yourself, that's negative. That's harmful. That is not helpful. The second thing you can do is challenge your thoughts. When you come upon and become aware of a negative thought or a word, ask yourself, is this really true? Because most of the time, because negative self-talk exaggerates things to a worse degree than they really are, we allow those hurtful and untrue words that we speak to ourselves to change our reality by making our problems so much bigger than they actually might be. So in those moments when this particular type of negativity is trying to take root, speak the truth in love to yourself and remember that you are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of a good and gracious God. Third, put your thoughts into perspective. When something happens and you start thinking negative thoughts, try, if you can, and look at things from a different point of view. Consider what somebody besides yourself may think of this situation and how they may choose to respond differently than you. And I think a good helpful guide for all of us here is to think about how Christ approached his challenges and his difficulties, and we can then seek his hopelessness in our human dilemmas. Fourth, if you can, stop the thought. If you can, stop the thought. When you sense something negative forming inside yourself, see if you can't stop it from becoming a full-blown thought before it's too late. Because before a negative seed has the chance to mature and bear its harmful fruit in our lives, try to pull that out root and stem. Now, the caveat is that doing this, of course, is easier said than done. But in order for our gardens to grow healthy and strong, friends, we've all got to be diligent in removing the weeds before they choke the life out of us. And the final habit and recommendation this morning is this: replace your negative self-talk with words of faithful empowerment. You know, too often we think that positive reinforcement is really all that's needed to do the trick and to rid us of inward negativity and self-talk. And while that does help to a degree, we know as Christians that in order to conquer the things which cause chaos in our lives, we need to welcome Christ into our battle with us, don't we? And by claiming the words of empowerment, victory, and life that he's already spoken over us, we can begin to learn a new and better language, one which allows us to experience greater peace, purpose, and joy in our lives. As I wrap things up this morning, I want you to think about this challenge to all of us, this question that we always need to have in front of us. What kind of world are our words creating? Within yourself, outside yourself, in the world around you, what kind of seeds are you scattering? What kind of fruit are they bearing? And how can we choose instead to bear the right kind of fruit that enhances and improves our lives, the lives of those around us, and the lives of those around the world? And how can we recognize the harmful fruit that our words are creating as well? It's not easy. It's not always very simple to understand what negativity we're allowing inside of ourselves and what negativity we're allowing outside of ourselves. But we have to understand that our words are creating our own realities. And if we're not satisfied with our reality, there are some things that we can, with God's help, do about it. And because of that, we need to think carefully about the words we speak to others, as well as today's message has demonstrated, the words that we speak to ourselves. Because when we don't pay attention, when we're careless with the things we have to say, it's easy to diminish the worth that we have as people created in the image of God. So instead of thinking carelessly about and saying negative things to ourselves or others, let's choose instead to sow seeds which bear the right kind of fruit, a fruit which improves our lives and helps us to see the image of God revealed in us through the Holy Spirit. Would you pray with me?